Chapter 13. The Secret Riddle. Katie was removed to St. Mungo's Hospital for magical maladies and injuries the following day, by which time the news that she had been cursed had spread all over the school, though the details were confused, and nobody other than Harry, Ron, Hermione, and Leanne seemed to know that Katie herself had not been the intended target. "Oh, and Malfoy knows, of course," said Harry to Ron and Hermione, who continued their new policy of feigning deafness whenever Harry mentioned his "Malfoy is a Death Eater" theory. Harry had wondered whether Dumbledore would return from wherever he had been in time for Monday night's lesson, but having had no word to the contrary, he presented himself outside Dumbledore's office at 8 o'clock, knocked, and was told to enter. There sat Dumbledore, looking unusually tired. His hand was as black and burned as ever, but he smiled when he gestured to Harry to sit down. The pensive was sitting on the desk again, casting silvery specks of light over the ceiling.
"You have had a busy time while I have been away," Dumbledore said. "I believe you witnessed Katie's accident."
"Yes, sir. How is she?"
"Still very unwell, although she was relatively lucky. She appears to have brushed the necklace with the smallest possible amount of skin. There was a tiny hole in her glove. Had she put it on, had she even held it in her ungloved hand, she would have died, perhaps instantly. Luckily, Professor Snape was able to do enough to prevent a rapid spread of the curse."
"Why him?" asked Harry quickly. "Why not Madame Pomfrey?"
"Impertinent,"
said a soft voice from one of the portraits on the wall, and Phineas Nigellus Black, Sirius's great-great-grandfather, raised his head from his arms where he had appeared to be sleeping.
"I would not have permitted a student to question the way Hogwarts operated in my day."
"Yes, thank you, Phineas," said Dumbledore quellingly. "Professor Snape knows much more about the dark arts than Madame Pomfrey, Harry. Anyway, the St. Mungo's staff are sending me hourly reports, and I am hopeful that Katie will make a full recovery in time."
"Where were you this weekend, sir?" Harry asked, disregarding a strong feeling that he might be pushing his luck, a feeling apparently shared by Phineas Nigellus, who hissed softly.
"I would rather not say just now," said Dumbledore. "However, I shall tell you in due course."
"You will?" said Harry, startled.
"Yes, I expect so,"
said Dumbledore, withdrawing a fresh bottle of silver memories from inside his robes and uncorking it with a prod of his wand.
"Sir,"
said Harry tentatively, "I met Mundungus in Hogsmeade."
"Ah, yes. I am already aware that Mundungus has been treating your inheritance with light-fingered contempt," said Dumbledore, frowning a little. "He has gone to ground since you accosted him outside the Three Broomsticks. I rather think he dreads facing me. However, rest assured that he will not be making away with any more of Sirius's old possessions."
"That mangy old half-blood has been stealing black heirlooms,"
said Phineas Nigellus, incensed, and he stalked out of his frame, undoubtedly to visit his portrait in number 12 Grimald Place.
"Professor," said Harry after a short pause, "did Professor McGonagall tell you what I told her after Katie got hurt about Draco Malfoy?"
"She told me of your suspicions, yes," said Dumbledore.
"And do you—"
"I shall take all appropriate measures to investigate anyone who might have had a hand in Katie's accident," said Dumbledore. "But what concerns me now, Harry, is our lesson."
Harry felt slightly resentful at this. If their lessons were so very important, why had there been such a long gap between the first and second? However, he said no more about Draco Malfoy, but watched as Dumbledore poured the fresh memories into the pensive and began swirling the stone basin once more between his long-fingered hands.
"You will remember, I am sure, that we left the tale of Lord Voldemort's beginnings at the point where the handsome muggle, Tom Riddle, had abandoned his witch wife, Merope, and returned to his family home in Little Hangleton. Merope was left alone in London, expecting the baby who would one day become Lord Voldemort."
"How do you know she was in London, sir?"
Because of the evidence of one Caractacus Burke, said Dumbledore, who, by an odd coincidence, helped found the very shop whence came the necklace we have just been discussing.